Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ahoy, traveler. You have entered a realm of noble heroes and monstrous beasts. A realm of epic quests and illicit affairs. A realm where tales of myth and legend unfold with every roll of the dice. Welcome to Tales from the Tower.
Hello and welcome to the Dungeons and Dragons Lorecast and to Tales from the Tower, our actual play series. This month's edition of Tales from the Tower is the final installment of Trials of the Tower Initiate, an awesome adventure written by our friends over at Tabletop Journeys and which can be found in the Dragonlance Companion supplement from Splinterverse. Of course, links to everything are in the show notes, so make sure to check those out for more information. Now, when we last left our heroes, who in the first installment were hired to escort young Val Astorio from his home to the Tower of High Sorcery, they had traveled into Solace to spend an evening. They did some shopping, caught dinner and a show performed by a bard named Lucius the Rye, and witnessed a man drop dead in front of them, murdered due to a slow-acting poison. Not wanting to get caught up in the drudgery of a murder investigation, and who can blame them? Who has that kind of time these days? They leave the village and continue to make their way through the forests of Weyreth toward the Tower of High Sorcery. That is until, for some reason, that same bard from the evening show rides in with a group of what appear to be Solace Town guards. And that, dear listener, is where we open up our final chapter of Trials of the Tower Initiate.
Stop! In the name of the Solace Militia, we have questions about the murder of Grayson Ashe.
Son of a bitch.
You have about 30 seconds until the wagon will catch up to you. So what do you want to do?
Does it look like we could take these people? Based on like how would they compare to the bandits that we fought earlier?
You can't really tell from this point. I mean, there are like six of them plus Lucius.
So seven total.
Right.
And why would a bard be leading all the guards there? I say, I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll have to talk to him, but it is odd that the bard's leading the guard.
I'm going to stand and fight.
We can't outrun a carriage. So, I mean, fighting is our only thing we can do.
I'm going to hide.
That's a brilliant idea.
That is the smart idea.
Is there a forest nearby that we could duck and hide in?
You are at the edges of the forest. As terms of like, you are like on a road that is like going through the forest.
We should split up. We should split up as quickly as we can. Two take Val, two take the other way. And we hide as quickly as we can.
Agreed.
We can at least get the jump on them if they find us. Go. And Grim, without finding out who is following them or anything, will just duck into the side of the forest that she's closest to, which I think she'd be on the left side of the road, so she'd just jump into the left side of the woods and maybe try to conceal herself under like leaves or something.
I guess I'll duck and hide.
Yeah, I want to do the same.
Alright, run! I'm gonna go the opposite direction of Grim and just take off as fast as my little legs can carry me.
Through the forest or down the road?
Through the forest.
You're just going to keep running.
Yeah.
All right, so you're all hiding. About 30 to 45 seconds later, you can hear the wagon come to a stop. And you hear, you know, people getting off the wagon and you start hearing like, where do they go? Where are they? Find him quickly. And everyone roll me stealth checks.
I got an 11.
I as well got an 11.
I got a 10.
I got an 8.
Yeah!
Grum, you're still running?
Yeah, that was my plan. Just keep running.
All right, so Ticknick, Navita, Grim, and Val, they're all found. Y'all roll initiative.
I got a 10.
Navita has an 8.
15.
All right, Ticknick, you are up first.
Cast Firebolt on one of the guards. But I'm going to do it on the farthest guard. Is it 25 hit?
It absolutely does. Roll damage.
2.
All right, it is Lucius's turn. He is going to attack you. 17 and second one's a miss for 3 points of damage. All right, it is the Solace Town Guard's turn, and I use that with air quotes because as you get closer to them, you see that they're not actually wearing the official garb of the town guard. It almost looks like a cheap cosplay of sorts. So 3 of them are going to grab Val, one by each arm and one by the legs, and they're starting to carry him off. A second is going to attack Grim with a 20 from their sword. That's going to do 9 damage. And the final guard is going to attack Navita and misses with an 11. Grim's turn.
What is the layout of this? Like, who is where?
I think you're by yourself. Navita and Ticknick are on the other side of the road. Grum is apparently still running through the forest.
Can I hear the fighting going on?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Then I'd like to start arcing back around towards the fighting.
Okay, so you start heading way back and you'll roll for initiative once you get back.
Who is on my side with me, enemy-wise?
Oh, you have just the one.
Grim would be like, you know, we could have talked this out, but too late for that now. And she brings down one of her short swords on the fighter's head, and that's going to be okay. All right, first one, nat 1. I know that doesn't hit. Just gonna re-roll that. 20, dirty 20.
All right, what's damage on that?
11.
Yeah, you run this fighter through and blood spurts everywhere.
Great.
He falls over dead.
And then with her remaining movement, she is going to cautiously, like, make her way to the other side to see if she can find, like, an opening to attack again on her next turn. But she's not, like, just jumping into battle.
Lucius sees you run through one of his flunkies and immediately directs one of the 3 quote-unquote guards to let go of Val, since it seems, you know, 2 would be adequate enough to control the child, and directs one of them to start attacking Navita and Ticknick. And Navita, it is your turn.
All right, you said there are 3 fighters engaged with me?
3 fighters engaged between you and Ticknick.
All right, well, the one that attacked me, I will bonus action cast Spiritual Weapon next to it and attack with that. Does a 12 hit?
12 hits.
8 damage force. And then on that same one, I will use my action to cast Toll the Dead. So make a wisdom saving throw.
That is a 10.
That fails. He will take 3 necrotic damage from Toll the Dead.
So you hit this Taligiri fighter with a spiritual weapon, and he almost crumples down to the ground, only to be hit with the necrotic force that seemingly, like, sucks the life force from him, and he falls over dead.
And I will use my movement to start running towards Val's captors.
All right, I'll say that one of the fighters gets an attack of opportunity. Does a 12 hit?
12 does not hit.
All right, they miss. You're able to deftly duck out of the way. And Grum, go ahead and roll me initiative.
8.
You're at the bottom. We are at Ticknick.
I'm going to cast Magic Missile.
You have one of the fighters has taken some damage already that you've attacked, and then you have a second fighter who is engaged with you, and then you have the two that are carrying Valoth.
Yeah, so I'm going to have two out of the three darts go towards the two that are holding Vel, and then one that's going to go to the one who's attacking me. Okay, so the two that go towards the two holding Vel each do three damage, and then the one that's fighting me does four.
All right, the two that are carrying Vel, they get hit, but they're able to keep hold of the child and continue making their way. Lucius's turn. He approaches Navita, who is starting to head toward him and the captors. And Lucius swings his short sword at you twice. First one's gonna miss. The second one is a 15.
No, that misses.
And he misses both of them. Ah, you rapscallion! And it is the fighters' turns. The two fighters carrying Val continue making their way to the carriage. They are about just probably one turn away from getting him on there. The one that is just got hit by Ticknick attacks him. 19 hits for 2 points of damage. And the final fighter goes to attack Grim. He hits for 9 points of damage.
Ouch.
And it is your turn, in fact.
Grim just looks at him and says, "That wasn't very nice. Let me return to Faith." And she's going to bring her short sword down. What does a 16 do?
It hits. Tell you that much.
That is going to be 5 damage with her first attack. Then with her bonus attack, because of two weapon fighting, what does a 9 do?
It misses. You do some sizable damage to this fighter. Definitely doesn't look, looks worse for wear. And it is Navita's turn.
All right, I will move my spiritual weapon over to one of the guards carrying Val and attack with that. That is a nat 1.
That is a miss.
And then I will cast Toll of the Dead on the other one.
Wisdom saving throw is a 19.
That is a pass.
Yep, they continue carrying the child. Grum, it is your turn. You come charging back into the fray.
And I shall attack. I don't know who's close. Is Lucius close?
I would say the one that is attacking that Ticknick is engaged with is the closest, followed by the one that is engaged with Grim. And then Lucius and the other two are especially the other two, they're almost to the wagon. Lucius is probably in between the wagon and the fray.
Okay, so Ticknick. We'll just go after that one because he's short and you can't trust him to win. Ooh, nice. 21 to hit. That is 10 points of damage.
You completely obliterate his skull with your hammer.
Damn right I did.
Ticknick, it is your turn.
How far away are the people holding Vale?
I would say at this point they're about 45 feet away.
So I'm going to move up 15 feet and then cast Thorn Whip on one of them. Does a 12 hit?
12 does hit.
Like 4 damage, and one of them is pulled back 10 feet.
Your thorn whip wraps itself around the legs of one of the assailants carrying Val and pulls him 10 feet closer to you. As a result, he drops Val. He's carrying the torso and arms of Val. Val falls to the ground onto his back, lets out a little oof, but in the commotion, in the confusion, he's able to quickly grab the short sword that was given to him by Grim, and he's able to swing it wildly at the one assailant that's left, and he slashes at his chest, causing 2 points of damage. So he's on the ground. One fighter is 10 feet away from him. One fighter still at his feet. Lucius is about 15 feet away from them, and now it is Lucius's turn. And he rushes over to Val and tells the other fighter, "Pick him up. Let's go. It's time to go." So they're able to pick him up.
but there's no movement on this round. And the other fighter that is engaged with Grim, he is going to overhear Lucius giving that command, and he is going to leave the fray from Grim.
Is that code for he disengages?
Did I use the word disengage?
You did not. Can I have attack of opportunity?
You absolutely can.
All right, I'm going to absolutely take that. That is going to be a 21. And what does 5 damage do to the poor guy?
Turns his back to you. What do you say?
Rest in peace.
As you plunge your short sword into the small of his back, he falls over dead.
Ah, brutal.
So, and it is now your turn.
They are trying to run away with Lucius Val, correct?
Right. You've still got Lucius and one fighter carrying Val. They're about 15 feet from the wagon.
When they're carrying Val, are they like carrying him like sideways toward the wagon, or are they just like one of them have their back facing me?
One of them has their back facing you.
Are they within a close enough range that I could run up and stab one of them or attempt to stab one of them in the back?
You could not unless you can use a bonus action to dash.
I can use a bonus action to dash because of cunning action.
Well, then there you go.
So I'm going to use my bonus action to dash, and I will run up behind Spider, and I am going to roll the action for my attack. So I'm assuming a 21 hits.
Yep.
And I do 8 points of damage.
And you also stab him in the back, and he falls almost on top of Val as he dies.
Grim looks over at Lucius and says, "Can't you just drop the boy? We can talk this out, you know."
And it is now Navita's turn.
All right. I will look at Lucius, and I will cast Hold Person. Give me a wisdom saving throw.
That is a 9.
Fail. He is paralyzed and incapacitated.
Right, so he stops in his tracks, you know, mumbles something about, you know, filthy magic users, and it is Grum's turn.
I'm going to punch him in the mouth.
Go right ahead.
4 damage. It's a unarmed strike. Trying to knock him out. I don't know if that works.
All right, it is Ticknick's turn. Ticknick, you still have one. The remaining fighter that is left is the one that was thorn whipped.
I'm going to shoot him with my crossbow. Does a 7 hit?
7 does not hit.
Damn.
All right. It is Lucius' turn. He's going to attempt his wisdom saving throw. 15.
Yes, he passes.
Okay. So he is able to... he gets unparalyzed, but that's his turn. He tells the other... the one remaining fighter to grab the boy. So he rushes over to grab him. That's his turn. Grim, it is your turn.
So because Grum punched Lucius that means he'd be within 5 feet, correct?
Right.
Wonderful. All right. So I'm going to go for Lucius. And does a 21 hit?
It does.
That is 14 damage. Is he dead?
He is not dead.
Wonderful. I still have a bonus action. Tell me, does a 17 hit?
It does.
Great. What does another 4 damage do to the poor guy?
It drops him to his knees. He does not look good at all. It looks as if a strong gust of wind would be enough to put him down. And Navita, it is your turn.
I will move my spiritual weapon over to him and try to deliver the final blow. That is a nat 20.
How do you want to do this?
The spiritual weapon is a scythe. So it comes over and reaps him where he stands from the base of his stomach all the way up to his chest. Guts him.
His guts spill out onto the forest floor. Some of it landing on Val, who like shrieks in terror. And you are left with the single Tal'Jara fighter.
I will toll the dead on the remaining fighter. Wisdom saving throw.
That is a nat 1.
That is a natural fail. Take 2 points of necrotic damage in your face.
That is enough to drop that fighter as well. So you've got Val covered in blood and guts. You've got six dead Tal Jari fighters, and Lucius Therai has been gutted like a fish.
Grim immediately walks over to Val and says, "Well, how does it feel to be kidnapped twice?"
He wipes blood off of his face and chunks of what used to be Lucius. "Not great, Master Grim. Not great."
"Well, boy, I'm proud of you. You actually managed to pull out that short sword and help us out. Keep doing that and maybe you'll survive." And as soon as Grim says that, she turns away from him and just starts like looking over Lucius's dead body to see if she can find any good loot off of him.
As far as loot goes, Lucius has on him a short sword and a hand crossbow. Nothing out of the ordinary, but a weapon is a weapon after all. And you still have 3 more days before you have to reach the tower in Weyreth.
What condition is his short sword in?
In pretty good condition.
Like, okay. Grim takes the short sword and just kind of equips it, like switches out short swords.
All right.
They came in a wagon, correct?
They did.
Aha.
We have a wagon. Yes, we do.
So you loot the bodies, you loot the wagon. Well, in terms of like you take the wagon.
Yes, we do. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that definitely cuts down on the time that you are taking. In fact, what normally would be a full day's travel is now a half day. So you knock out 2 days in one. Over the course of this day, you know, you can take a rest like during the trip, especially like, you know, once you you reach your campsite that evening, you know that you are less than a day away from reaching the tower now. And as you set up a campsite, the evening quickly grows dark under the forest canopy. As you finish your evening meal, Val is once again brewing a pot of his delicious spice cider, and he smiles as he pours each of you a steaming cup, but his eyes look troubled. With a melancholy sigh, Val says softly, "Since we will reach the tower tomorrow, this could be our last night together. I can hardly believe all that we've been through. I have to admit that I am going to miss all of you, even Grim, who has been tougher on me than the rest of you."
"A real jerk."
"Consider it tough love."
"You've grown quite a bit, little bean sprout."
He like smiles sheepishly at this. "Since this is our last night, can we tell stories around the fire again one last time?"
"Well, let's see. When I think of a story, I recall the time that I was at home. You see, my home is not here. My home is somewhere else, very, very far away. I cannot return there anymore. But, alas, we had a visitor in town. And much like our bard that we disposed of, everyone loved him. Everyone thought he was amazing and incredible, but I saw through his lies. I saw through his deception. I saw through his performances that he gave everyone. You see, he was taking people from the village that I was from, and he was killing them, torturing them in ways that one couldn't even begin to imagine. And one day, I was investigating. I caught him in the act of doing the things that he was doing to those people. I'll spare you the gory details of it, of course. But when he saw me, he
He didn't kill me. Although, sometimes I wonder if it wouldn't have been better. Instead, he banished me. He used a spell and banished me to a totally different location. And before he banished me, I did try to tell the villagers, but no one listened. Oftentimes, I think back to my hometown and wonder if it's still around or if he managed to kill everyone. But alas, I guess I'll never know.
That's awful, Master Grimm. So you never got the chance to explain your side?
Oh, I explained it plenty. I told everyone exactly what I thought he was doing. I gave them all the clues, all the evidence, but no one could see past his charm for what he really was. And now they've probably paid the price for that.
Yeah, most of my life, no one would listen to me either, no matter what I had to say.
Boy, you were almost the same with me. You didn't want to listen to what we had to say back at the tavern. Just remember, when someone's telling you something, sometimes it's for the better, sometimes it's for the greater good. Just remember that in your future travels.
Yeah, you're right. Does anybody else want to tell a story?
Well, Val, I will tell you a story. As you know, I was excommunicated from my order years and years ago. And heading out on the road on my own was a big risk. But to do so meant growth for me. I ended up joining an order of a little-known god called Oryathuna. While I traveled the woods and the roads of this great land by myself, I always had Oryathuna's guide with me. Going out alone as a cleric without an official order always meant danger. I had nowhere to stop and nowhere to seek refuge within the confines of the greater religions. But in the process, I found out more and more about myself. I came upon a graveyard where a young warlock was out raising the dead. What a guy. What an incredible, incredible man. And I fell in love, and we spent the evening raising the dead together. Isn't that romantic, Val?
I mean, I guess. I mean, I don't... Was it worth it?
Oh, absolutely. If I hadn't taken the risk of going out on my own, I never would have met and had such a wonderful experience. That's all life is, Val. A series of experiences. Whether it's raising the dead in a graveyard or being out on the road with strangers who become friends.
Well, I'd much rather be out here with y'all than with the undead in a graveyard. I can say that for sure.
You sure about that?
I don't know. I think the undead graveyard might be a lot of fun.
Well, hopefully tomorrow I'll find out that all of this was worth it, too. And with that, he turns in, falls asleep, and everyone goes to bed, wakes up the next morning. You start to travel along in your wagon. You know that you should be reaching the tower by about midday or so. And as you begin to get closer to your destination, you see in the distance, maybe 50 to 75 meters in front of you, a large black coach turned sideways has blocked the narrow forest road. Several people are lined up on either side of the coach with weapons drawn, and a tall cloaked figure stands boldly in front of them. The apparent leader's long pale fingers reach up and pull back his hood, revealing a middle-aged bald man with dark, heavy eyebrows and a sour expression on his face. He points a long, bony finger at Val and calls out, "I am Eren Braylon, leader of the Tal'Jara, and this is your last chance, boy. Val Astario, denounce the evils of magic and turn back now or face the consequences."
I don't think he likes us.
As you approach, you see the trees along the roadside 100 feet beyond the Tal'Jara shift to either side, forming a wide path. The way to the Tower of Weyrith has opened.
Well, do we gun it? We can gun it.
Let's get him to the finish line.
Grim, you notice that the black coach matches that beggar's description from Solace, the one that nearly ran him down.
Oh, dear. Well, I was concerned about the black carriage. It seems now I know why I was concerned about it. I have an idea. What say we run this entire carriage and horse into theirs? See what damage we can do to their numbers before we take them out. Because I don't think a fight is avoidable.
I love it!
Navita and Ticknick, as you start to get closer to the coach, you realize that the driver, you've seen him before. It's the butler from Branchley Hall.
Son of a bitch.
And in fact, the bald man, Eren Braylon, also looks hauntingly familiar. At first, you can't recall, but then you remember him. He was in the portrait hanging above the love seat from the parlor where you first met the Astario family.
It's the man from the portrait.
Grim looks at Val and says, "Family reunion?"
Val is flabbergasted. He barely knows his grandfather, but, you know, recognizes him for sure. He doesn't know why he would be here or what part he has in any of this. He just stammers, like, I can't believe what is he doing here?
Well, he's your kin boy. You ask him.
So, this bald man, who does he look more alike? Does he look more like the mother or more like the father?
You would say he probably is. He's probably Val's maternal grandfather.
Grim turns into Val's mother, mimics her voice again, and steps out of the, like steps onto the front of the carriage, like into sight, because I'm assuming she'd actually be in the carriage, like peeking out, steps into sight to the front of the carriage, and just kind of says, "Please, let the boy go through. He's been through enough as it is. He doesn't need your craziness, father."
Eren Braylon begins to chuckle.
"Enough!"
Slashing his hand through the air as though cutting through all possible objections. He whirls around and throws open the door to the coach, yelling,
"I grow tired of this. If Val is so important to you, convince him, or I'll kill them all."
And a vaguely familiar voice yells from inside the dark interior, "No!" As Demaya Astario leaps out of the coach.
Dang it!
And steps between the two parties. "I'm so sorry, Beansprout. I've been trying to get out for years since you first showed signs of magic. And I tried to warn you, to dissuade you from this madness. I never thought it would come to this, but these people will kill you. Turn back, my love, for all of our sakes. Please, Val, I love you so much. Can't we just ride home to your father and to our lives together?" Val's shoulders slump and begin to shake with silent heaving sobs and stammers. "Oh God, my mom, how could she?" Then Val turns to all of you, tears streaming freely down his horrified face. Eren sort of mocks Demaya.
"Have you no control over your own child, Demaya?
Please, Beansprout, can't we just be a family again? Father is merciless, and I cannot bear the thought of losing you. What choice did I have?"
Grim looks at Val and says, "All right, boy. it's time you make a choice. And I want you to understand this is the choice that will reflect the rest of your life. Reflect on you for the rest of your life. If we go through there, there's a chance your mother may not make it. I have a full confidence we can probably take them. But is it worth it? You can still turn back now and have your family. Give us the word. We've come this far, after all.
I don't know.
Well, figure it out. You don't have a lot of time. This man doesn't look like he's going to wait for you to decide.
As you say that, you can see him, like, impatiently tapping his foot. Master Grimm, what do you think I should do?
There's nothing worse than losing your family, boy. But there's also nothing worse than never realizing your true potential and being locked away for the rest of your life. If I were in your shoes, I would ram this carriage right through all of them and kill every single one of them, mother included.
Master Levita, what do you think?
Well, this decision truly is up to you. But to turn away now would seal your fate. You will forever live under the thumb of this man. We can do what we can to get your mother out. But it's time for you to decide the man that you want to be. Will you be the man that turns and runs at the first sign of trouble? Or will you stand up to this heathen and charge through to your fate?
Yeah.
I say we ram him.
Always so single-minded, Master Grum. Master Ticknick, what say you?
I agree with the others. We were paid to get you to the tower, and that's what we shall do.
Okay, then. Okay. You're right. And he turns to face his mother and Eden. They're right. I would rather die than only live half a life. You're gonna have to kill me if you're gonna stop me.
Like, literally, like, as he starts to say that, Grimm turns toward Grum and says, charge it. Ram it.
Done.
Everyone roll initiative.
I rolled a solid 8.
11.
18 for Navita.
Nat 1.
Going to take the surprise first round, and we are going to ram your wagon. So how are you doing? Who's riding? Who is on the wagon? Who is riding it?
I am on the wagon.
I was hoping Grum would be the one to ram it.
Yeah.
So you're the only one on the wagon.
I'll drive it right into these sons of bitches.
I would jump off like pre-collision.
Okay. So is everyone on the wagon jumping off?
Yeah, I am.
Navita is not on that wagon. Right. She's jumping off.
I'm going to ride it straight on through.
You take the wagon down the road about 50 to 75 meters. By the time they realize that you're not going to stop, you swing like the horse to the side, which allows the wagon to tumble sideways. Make me dexterity checks.
I roll the 20.
You roll the 20, so you are able to maneuver the horse and continue to stay mounted as this wagon flips onto its side and starts to barrel roll toward this group. And they are each going to roll dexterity saving throws. Eden fails miserably with a 4. The Tal'jari fighters also fail. Let's see how the mother does. The mother also fails.
Everybody's gonna die.
Give me one. Let me see. I've never had to roll damage for a wagon.
You're welcome.
This situation has deteriorated.
In the best way possible.
Yeah, I'm pretty glad I could be here for it.
The kamikaze wagon gambit pays off. Grum swings the wagon toward Eden, his foot soldiers, and Val's mother, while simultaneously loosening the harness, attaching the horse to the vehicle. Top over bottom, bottom over top, the wagon violently rolls toward the opposing group. Screams are heard from everyone, and then a loud crash, like an explosion. And then
an eerie silence. The dust settles, and only two figures show signs of life, however tenuous that grasp may be. Each and every one of the Tal'Jeri foot soldiers are all seemingly either dead, or at best knocked unconscious from the unorthodox attack. But Val's mother, and more importantly, Val's grandfather, still draw breath.
All right, so, Navita, it is your turn.
All right, so how far am I away from this gaggle of bodies and broken wagons?
It would take a double movement on a turn to get to there. Everyone except for Grum and Grim. Grum is pretty much right there. Grim is close enough that one turn, one full movement, 30 feet would get him there.
All right. Well, so you're saying a full movement of 30 feet would put me 30 feet away from the situation?
Roughly, yeah.
I'll use all my movement to get up there. Bonus action, cast spiritual weapon, right next to his grandfather. I'm assuming that an 8 does not hit him.
Does not.
All right, well then I'll just good old-fashioned toll the dead on him. Wisdom saving throw for him.
That's a 9.
That's a failure. So take 3 necrotic damage.
And it is his turn. He pulls out a short bow and fires it at Navita. Does a 19 hit? I assume so. 5 points of damage. He's going to throw a dagger at you. And whizzes right past your head. And it is Ticknick's turn.
All right. How far is everyone away again?
You would either have to double move to get into melee range, or you can move and you're about 30 feet away and you could do a ranged attack.
I'm actually going to cast Arcane. I'm going to use Arcane Armor.
Do you want to move as well?
I'm just going to stay where I'm at.
It is Grim's turn.
All right. So Grim is going to use their full movement and she's going to go right up to Eden and use her short sword. She's going to bring it down on him and 24, 5 points of damage. All right, let's see. Bonus action and... Oh, nice. What is another... I'm assuming another 24 hits with another 5 damage.
All right, it is Damaya's turn. She stands up from the wreckage. She's about maybe 15 to 20 feet away from Eden, and she pulls out a dagger from with a sheath wrapped around her ankle and charges at Eden from behind. Don't hurt my son! And he kind of like turns and sort of like knocks her on the ground, and she like falls back and does not hit. Oh, and now it's Val's turn. Val is going to move up 30 feet. And then he is going to cast a mage armor on himself. And that is going to be his turn. And Grum, it is your turn.
Well, I'm going to run up to him, and that's about all I can do for my one action. I guess I can take one swing at him. 22. 5 damage. That's all I got.
All right. We're at the top of the order. It is Navita's turn.
Trusty spiritual weapon, toll the dead combo. Oh my god, that's a 9. And then I will use my action to toll the dead on him.
12.
Ooh, just barely miss it. Take 4 necrotic damage. Then I'll use my, I'll use my movement to get up into combat range with him.
All right, he looks banged up. He still looks like he's got plenty of fight left in him. But between the wagon and all the damage that he's taken from your attacks, he's not looking great. But he has his rapier out, and as Navita approaches him, he attacks twice for a 14 and 15.
Both miss.
All right, he misses on those, and it is now Ticknick's turn.
I'm going to attack the grandfather. Does a 15 hit?
15 does not hit.
Damn.
Rim?
Well, that 15 not hitting concerns me. All right, let's see. So Grim is going to swing at him with her short sword, and well, I'm going to assume my 10 is just going to automatically miss, and I'm going to assume that 9 misses as well.
Misses terribly. Damaya is able to get back to her feet, or at least like get kind of to her knees, and like tries to plunge her dagger into Eden's calf, and that is a nat 20.
Yes,
that does 8 points of damage. And it is Val's turn. He continues to he moves a little bit closer to the fray, and he casts Arcane Burst, which hits 11 points of damage.
Get it, Val.
And as he does this, he screams, "Don't hurt my mom!" And it is Grum's turn.
Well, we're gonna hit the old man some more. And 13 doesn't hit, does it?
Nope.
And my second attack is the same damn thing. Well, that's what I got for you, boys. I'm missing left and right because I fight good.
Navita, it's your turn. Top of the order.
She is going to cast Inflict Wounds. That is a natural 20.
Nice.
So that's a total... well, I know it hits, so I'm also going to use my Channel Divinity to use her Touch of Death as well. So take 31 points of necrotic damage.
Okay. How do you want to do this?
She plants her hand on his face, and necrotic energy surges through her directly into his skull, hopefully filling his entire brain cavity with it and exploding it from the inside.
And as you explode Eden Braylon's skull, what remains of his body drops to the floor. Val and Damaya rush toward each other and embrace. Damaya is all apologetic. "I'm so sorry, my dear. It all just got out of hand, and I just never wanted you to get hurt. Please believe me. Please forgive me." Val's crying. "It's okay, Mom. It's okay. Everything is okay." What are the rest of you doing?
Grim will turn back into like her regular self with like the female version with black hair. And then look at Navita and say, "Not bad at all. You know, you could even color me impressed."
Navita cleans viscera out of her face and off of her hands. "Much appreciated, dear. Much appreciated.
We should work together more often."
"Agreed. Two gals out on the town.
Like the sound of it. I think we should finish up this job first, though."
"Let's do it. And then a much deserved drink."
"Speaking of job, are we going to get paid?"
"Yes, yes, Grum. That's what's coming next. Demira, I do believe we are due our payment."
As Grum mentions payment, this light appears in the middle of the trees, like the tree line. And 3 mages from the tower step out to greet the party warmly. "Hello, hello. We see we have an initiate in our midst." Val just kind of separates from his mom, like wipes his eyes. "Yes, it's me. I'm here. Val Astorio." They motion him to enter into the light through the trees. And he looks at the party. "Thank you so much for protecting me and for teaching me so much in these last few days. I feel like I've learned more in this time than I have my entire life. I'll never forget you. I swear it."
Go on and grow, little bean sprout.
Don't forget what I taught you.
He sniffles, turns around, hugs his mom one last time, and walks past the mages and into the light. The mages discuss something with Demaya, and she points to the four of you. And two of the mages return into the light. One mage approaches the four of you. I believe some gold is due for services rendered.
Damn right.
With a wave of his hand, a pouch appears. He holds it out to Grim.
Grim takes it.
He does this 3 more times, each time holding it out to Grum, to Navita, to Ticknick.
I'm going to take a piece of it out and bite it, make sure it's real.
The mage, again, thanks you for your protection of this initiate and promises that someone who is able to survive, not only that, but thrive over the events of the last few days, has a bright future ahead of them in the Tower of High Sorcery. He hands you all a magic item that you're able to use in your further adventures. And he says his goodbyes to Demaya, goes back into the light between the trees, and it slowly dims until there's nothing left but the Qualinesti Forest. Demaya approaches you. I don't know what to say. I feel I owe you an apology for hiring you under false pretenses.
No problem.
So you're saying you knew this would happen?
I thought it was a likely possibility, yes.
Water under the bridge.
I owe you so much for protecting my son. He means everything to me. If there's anything else I could do, please let me know. And as far as I'm concerned, anytime you are in the Town of Crossing, you have some place to rest your head.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm sure I'll be calling in favors occasionally.
And at this, she makes her way toward the wreckage of the wagons, the body of Edin Braylon, and begins to like kind of pick through the rubble for anything that still might belong to her. And that ends the Trials of the Tower Initiate.
Woo!
Thank you so much to our players, Harlan playing Navita, Coffee playing Ticknick, Darkwing playing Grum, and Grim playing Grim. Thank you so much for your amazing role-playing, and thank you, dear listener, for joining us on this adventure. And actual play has been the goal of ours here at the D&D Lorecast for years now, honestly. And so your support means the world to us. If this adventure is any indication, the future of Tales from the Tower is bright indeed. Or dark, depending on if you like dungeons. And in which case, it's gonna be dark. So join us next month as we start a brand new adventure. And until then, dear listener, may all your 20s be natural.
Thank you for listening, Traveler. And we hope you join us again for the next Tales from the Tower.